ever get that feeling like you want to really like sink your teeth into a topic.
Yeah.
You know, not just skim the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's what we aim for here, right? And today we are going deep, folks. We're diving into the Holy Spirit, specifically how John presents it.
Yeah, it's such a key part of understanding John's gospel and honestly, Christian belief as a whole.
For sure. And we've got a fantastic guide for our deep dive today, Dr. Robert A. Peterson.
Yeah, his insights from the lecture series on Assigning Theology, Session 14, Part 2, are going to be really helpful here. He goes in depth on the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And that's where we're focusing. We'll be tracing the Spirit's role.
Yeah.
Everything from, like, its place in the Trinity, which might sound a bit heady, but stick with us. It's actually super interesting.
Oh, definitely.
To its work in Jesus' ministry. Obviously, Pentecost is going to come up.
Huge moment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll even look at how the Spirit is active today, you know, still working. So are you ready? Let's get into it. Now, Peterson starts with some kind of foundational stuff about the Trinity.
Right from the get-go, he makes it clear that all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are the source of life itself. Like, that's where everything originates. And it's super important to remember because it emphasizes that God's actions are, like, this totally unified thing.
Yeah, it's not just one part of God doing this and another doing that. It's completely unified.
Exactly. When we talk about God acting, it's the entire Godhead. It reframes how we see God's involvement. It's not distant or detached at all.
It makes sense. It's like the bedrock we're building on here. Now, in John's gospel, one of the first big moments we encounter the Spirit connected to Jesus is at his baptism.
Oh, yeah. John the Baptist's testimony there is crucial.
Peterson really highlights that, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, John the Baptist sees the Spirit descend on Jesus visibly, like a dove.
Right, right.
But the key is that the Spirit remains on Jesus. This isn't just a, like, fleeting appearance. It's the sign for John that Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
And that's something we see across all four Gospels, right?
Yeah, not just John. It's this consistent thread that Jesus is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.
And Peterson points out the Old Testament connection here, too.
For sure. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would receive the Spirit. So when Jesus receives the Spirit at his baptism, it's not just this personal internal thing. It's like the official launch of his ministry, you know, the God-man fully empowered by the Spirit.
Wow, that's powerful. And Peterson has this interesting point about how Jesus's miracles actually show us both his divinity and his humanity.
Right. They're not just these displays of raw divine power. Peterson points out that they also demonstrate Jesus's humanity, like empowered by the Spirit, fully God, fully man, both natures working together.
That's a really fascinating take. So we've got Jesus empowered by the very Spirit that he'll later give to others. And speaking of giving the Spirit, we have to talk about Pentecost.
Oh, yeah. Major turning point.
Peterson doesn't hold back. He calls it a major redemptive historical event.
Yeah.
Just as important as Jesus's death and resurrection.
Absolutely. You can't separate them. Luke lays it all out in his gospel in Acts. Jesus tells the disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the power from on high. Then boom, Pentecost happens. Spirit poured out, visibly, powerfully fulfilling Joel's prophecy.
Amazing. Peterson says this is the baptism of the church with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Before this, the Spirit was active for sure. But with Pentecost, there's this fundamental shift. It's like God's presence isn't just with individuals, but actually in the community of believers.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge distinction.
It is. We go from individual encounters to a corporate indwelling. It's the public launch of a new era, a new phase of God's plan, and the birth of the New Testament people of God, the church.
From that point on, Peterson says the kingdom of God expands rapidly.
Oh, yeah. Rapidly might even be an understatement.
I don't think so. So much changed at Pentecost. All right, let's shift gears a bit and look at John 7 specifically, the passage where Jesus talks about living water. Peterson ties that directly to the Spirit.
Definitely. And you got to understand the context. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, which involved this water pouring ceremony.
Right. That, symbolic, right?
Yeah, totally. Giving thanks for the rains, praying for future provision. Then Jesus steps in on the last day of the feast, the climax, really, when the water ceremony was ending. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Powerful stuff.
It is. Jesus is basically saying, I am the true source of this life-giving water. He's placing himself in a role that was traditionally, you know, associated with God.
And John's pretty clear about what that living water represents.
Oh, yeah. No ambiguity there. John straight up tells us Jesus was talking about the Spirit whom believers would receive after Jesus was glorified.
After. That's important, right?
Absolutely. Peterson emphasizes that the Spirit hadn't been given in this new, full way yet because Jesus hadn't finished his work. He hadn't gone to the cross, hadn't been resurrected, hadn't ascended.
Now, some people might be thinking, hold on, the Spirit was around before Pentecost, right? Genesis 1.2, Old Testament saints. What's the difference Peterson's highlighting here?
Great question. Peterson acknowledges that, yeah, the Spirit was definitely active before Pentecost. But he says the teaching about the Spirit, the clarity of his role, how fully he was given those things were different before Jesus' glorification.
So it's not that the Spirit was absent before.
Not at all. It's more like the full picture, you know, the Trinity and how the Spirit fits in. It was being revealed over time, progressively through redemptive history.
I see. So the Spirit's role becomes much clearer after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension.
Exactly. Okay, now how about we jump to John 20, the Johannine Great Commission. Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
What's Peterson's take on that in relation to Pentecost?
He sees it as a prophetic action, kind of like a preview of what's coming at Pentecost. You know, in Genesis, God breathed life into Adam. Here, Jesus resurrected is breathing the new creation's breath into his apostles.
Oh, wow. I never thought of it like that.
It's powerful imagery. He's equipping them in advance for their ministry.
And what about when Jesus gives them authority to forgive or withhold sins? How does that tie into the Spirit?
Peterson connects that directly to their role in proclaiming the gospel. So as they preach, empowered by the Spirit, people are going to respond. Some will believe, receive forgiveness through Christ. Others will reject the message.
I see. So their declaration, it's not about them personally having this power to forgive.
Right. Exactly. It's about them announcing God's forgiveness, you know, as the Spirit works through their message.
So even with this event, Pentecost still stands as the central, unique moment. The Spirit given to the church as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. Peterson's firm on that. Pentecost is a one-time deal, a redemptive historical event. It's different from the ongoing filling of the Spirit in individual believers.
Right. It's the moment the Spirit was given to the church, period. New Covenant era begins, and the church, the New Testament people of God, are established.
That's it. All right, let's move into the farewell discourses. John chapters 14 through 16. There is so much here about the Holy Spirit. Peterson points out that John uniquely emphasizes both the Father and the Son sending the Spirit.
That's interesting. It's specific to John, then.
Yeah. Jesus promises that the Father will send another helper. The Greek word is parakletos, and it's tough to translate perfectly. Helper, comforter, advocate, even challenger at times. It's all these things, and the Spirit embodies it all.
And Peterson says this helper, the parakletos, is basically Jesus's alter ego.
Taking his place, continuing his ministry.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He reveals the Father, the Son, the truth found in Scripture and apostolic teaching. He'll teach believers everything they need and remind them of what Jesus taught.
Peterson sees this as like pre-authenticating the New Testament.
He does. And don't forget, the Spirit also acts as a witness about Jesus. And that ties into a big theme throughout John's gospel.
Tons of witnesses, right? John the Baptist, the Father, miracles, the Old Testament.
Exactly. The Spirit joins that chorus. And when John says the Spirit proceeds from the Father, Peterson clarifies that this is likely talking about the Spirit's role in redemptive history, the economic procession, as theologians call it.
So it's more about what the Spirit does in God's saving plan.
Right. It's not necessarily a statement about the eternal relationships within the Trinity. That's a whole other, more complex theological discussion.
Okay, got it. So on to John 16, Jesus tells his disciples that it's actually good for them that he's going away, because then the helper can come. Peterson talks about the Spirit's work of conviction here.
Yeah, might sound strange at first, but Jesus explains that the Spirit's coming is crucial because he'll convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Big topics.
For sure. Peterson agrees with D.A. Carson's take on this, which basically says that the world is actively engaging in these things. Sin, self-righteousness, and faulty judgment.
So the Spirit convicts the world of its sin, not believing in Jesus.
Right. It's self-righteousness, trying to be good enough on our own, which fails because only Jesus is truly righteous.
And it's judgment, misunderstanding spiritual reality, because Satan's already been defeated.
Exactly. So without the Spirit's conviction, people wouldn't even recognize their need for Jesus.
It's the crucial first step toward salvation. And then even beyond conviction, John 16.12 to 15 talks about the Spirit guiding believers and glorifying Jesus.
Right. So Jesus says the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. He won't speak on his own, but what he hears from the Father and Son, and he'll reveal things to come, God's future plans. But Peterson emphasizes the Spirit's main goal, to glorify Jesus.
By taking what belongs to Jesus and revealing it to us.
Exactly. Just like Jesus declared what belonged to the Father. It's this beautiful picture of the Trinity's unified work. Father sends Son, Father and Son send Spirit, all working together.
Peterson wraps up by emphasizing how detailed John's teaching on the Spirit is, especially compared to the other Gospels.
Yeah, he points out that John's farewell discourses give us this really developed, nuanced view of the Holy Spirit. It's deeper than what we saw before in redemptive history.
We see similar ideas in Paul, but John's take is uniquely profound.
For sure. Peterson calls it a wonderful doctrine of the Holy Spirit.
It really is. So let's just recap quickly. The Holy Spirit is the source of life within the Trinity. He empowered Jesus' ministry, was poured out on the church at Pentecost. That marked the birth of the new people of God. We saw the Spirit as living water, looked at that Johannine Great Commission, and how the Spirit is the helper sent by both Father and Son.
Right.
And we talked about the Spirit revealing truth, convicting the world, and ultimately glorifying Jesus.
It's all connected. Understanding these things about the Holy Spirit, like John shows us, it really deepens our understanding of Christian theology and how God works.
So thinking about all these roles of the Holy Spirit, empowering Jesus, convicting the world, guiding us as believers, how does that change your perspective on how God's active in the world today? That's a lot to think about, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And honestly, this deep dive into John's theology of the Spirit, it's just a starting point. Explore the Gospel of John more, check out Acts, maybe even revisit Dr. Peterson's work. There's so much to discover about this incredible transformative topic.